They're both powering up. Holy smokes, they got both of them powering up.
What we're seeing against the backdrop of space itself is UFO footage shot over a period of years by James Gilliland, a man who's built a sanctuary near Mount Adams in the state of Washington.
The visions showed me this beautiful mountain, a river on the eastern border, and then a little mountain behind me. I would have to say the main question that should have been asked is, why are they here?
We are a civilization that's dedicated to destruction.
There's saucers circling over the gate, and then they move over the missiles, and they start turning them off.
The greater family of man, or the off-worlders, you might call them, are deeply concerned. We've just seen the beginning of the Earth changes. They're going to escalate. It's going to be very intense in the next couple of years.
The current that regulates climate around the world will stall, and Europe will have a Siberian climate.
When we die, we leave the body, we move up through the spine, we come on out, and we blast on out as a light sphere.
And I ended up in what they call the golden plane of bliss, where you're held in the arms of God or the cradle of God.
There it goes, it's doubling. It's split into two.
You know, they've transcended war, disease, poverty, and they have that wisdom and that technology to share with humanity. They teach the basic universal principles such as universal peace and brother-sister love and living in harmony with each other and the planet. And you look at all the diversity of life in just this dimension alone and add 10 more dimensions to that, you can imagine what's out there. We have a golden opportunity right now to join the rest of the universe in peace and to unite with these beings that are extremely spiritually and technologically advanced, far beyond anything we can imagine.
Are listening to Tall Cat Psychic 101 on Station 1 right here on BBS Radio, coming to you from historic Santa Fe, New Mexico tonight. Every second and fourth Monday, the Tall One aspires to inspire you, baby. The lead-in you heard is the trailer from the amazing film Contact Has Begun, a documentary film produced by none other than John Savage and directed by Michael Knight. The film is the James Gilliland story. It contains beautiful real-life UFO footage and speakers such as Michal Ledwith, among others. Now, John and Michael are here tonight, and tonight is your opportunity to ask questions or comment on the topics of Earth changes, ET contact, and to hear about how the making of films like Contact Has Begun or Orbs, Clues to a More Exciting Universe, affected the film crew as well as the individual listener. John Savage joins us for the first time. He is the producer of Contact Has Begun and the creator of DCT Dreams Come True Enterprises, which specializes in documentary productions for public distribution in world broadcast quality using the latest production and DVD technology, including filming, special effects, recording, and editing. He produced the amazing film featuring Michal Ledwith's Orbs, which is stunning and glorious. John has created many successful business ventures, and he says his success comes from not being afraid to try new things and in using the best talent in whatever adventures he finds himself involved in. Now, you guys, regular people attending the show, will remember Michael Knight back to Knight by popular demand. He is an international investigative journalist, author, director, and researcher since 1960. The info from the film Contact Has Begun is the foundation for Michael's newsletter, Earth Changes Report, about our rapidly changing world, with thousands of subscribers worldwide. Michael's newsletter is free, independent, and outspoken, unlike CNN or NBC. Welcome to Psychic 101, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Karen. This is Michael.
Hello, Karen.
Welcome aboard. And how's John doing tonight?
John is well, Karen. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad to have the two of you on, because what better way to give a really well-rounded version about this amazing, interesting, and maybe even considered controversial film. While the three of us are on air tonight, the call lines will be officially open for comments or questions about the times we live in, what ETs are about, and the fear factor. That is, fear of contact, or birth changes, that is. So, if you got a great question, do you feel the urge to share a comment or an experience? Just let your fingers do the walking, baby. Call 1-888-815-9756 or email MrTallCat@gmail.com with your question or your comment. We love questions from you listeners. We are not afraid of contact with you. Live contact right here, right now. I have a question to get the ball started rolling, guys. How did the two of you meet up?
Well, John, would you like to take that one, or?
Well, you go ahead, Michael, and I'll embellish it. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Shall we start with the Himalaya trek or the Alaska adventure? Or should I stop pulling people's legs and just say?
I think I'll start it then, because I ran into Michael. We both go to a school in Yelm, Washington, Ramtha School of Enlightenment. And Michael, I hadn't known other than just seeing him. And one time we were talking, and I started telling him a bit about myself. And he said, "Do you mind if I write a book?" And I said, "About what?" And he said, "About you." And I said, "Yes, I do." And actually, that's how we first met, as far as I remember.
That's absolutely true. And we formed it's like two guys get together, they have a common sense of things. And then, to my surprise, a little while later, John called me up, and I hadn't written the book, but he called me up and he said, "Would you like to make a documentary?" You can take it from there, John.
Yes, and that's really how it started. And the reason that I called Michael was he does have many years of experience in the media business, and I had absolutely none. And so what I wanted to do was purchase the cameras and equipment and everything. I had absolutely nothing. We started from scratch, so actually that was to our benefit. And so with that, Michael did a tremendous amount of research, and we ended up contacting people that helped us all the way through to the purchasing of equipment and making a studio, and even going to Las Vegas with us. And Michael actually brought a film crew in and a sound crew in from New Zealand that he used to work with that was ahead of America, and that they used the digital camera and the high definition quality that we were using. So we were very fortuitous, and all of this happened, again, not coincidentally, but to use that word, when James Gilliland was having his conference. So we all went down to Trout Lake, Washington, and that's how we started to capture the footage and content of the movie Contact Has Begun.
And somewhere in there, the idea for the name of John's company came along, Dreams Come True Enterprises.
And love it.
It's a beautiful name, and it has to do with knowing that if you allow yourself to have a dream and stay focused on it, it does come true. And so this is pretty much how the name came about. And we had a number of possible documentary ideas that we were researching. John took us down to Tucson, Arizona to do some film and research on a couple of students who were, Ramtha students who were down there doing a presentation. And we also, not coincidentally, but heard about James Gilliland over at Trout Lake in Washington. And that's about a 3 or 4 or 5 hour drive from where we live. And we decided to go over there and do some research, because while John was investigating these things, he was determined to find a subject which resonated. And there are many people in the world who have stories which are worth being told, but you can't film and tell all of them.
Yes.
James Gilliland had a sanctuary on the other side of Mount Adams, and we'd never met him, but he was talking about, and his website talked about seeing UFOs go over his property and doing what is called a power-up, which, to explain it simply, is like you turn a dimmer on a light bulb, and it goes from dull to bright. And we heard about that, and we went over there and did some research.
That had to be quite an amazing experience, and I'm sure that neither one of you really knew what to expect before you got there.
No, we didn't. We didn't know anything, and I'm. This is from where I came from, and I'm very interested in people that truly believe in what they're doing, and I always have been. I just have a respect for that. And in listening to James Gilliland, I said to him, well, why hasn't somebody done a documentary on you or done put this on film? And this is absolutely incredible. And he said, well, they have. They've done it many times. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, well, I'd like to see some of this. And he said, well, no, he said, you can't because it always ends up on the cutting room floor. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, everything that I have here, people are looking for drama and controversy. And, well, of course, he's very controversial. But what he has to say, they it didn't go anywhere. And so I said, well, what would you do if that happened? And he said, well, I've been at this for 20 years. And he said, I don't think it's going to happen. And I said, well, let's make it happen. And that's how we started, and I respected him then, and I respect him more now after all of the work that we've done and just getting to know him. He opened up his entire archives. He has over 70 hours of actual unedited footage, which is astounding. And he opened up his entire library and all of his research material to Michael, and that right there was what intrigued me and still intrigues me. He didn't hide anything to my knowledge that I'm aware of. And Michael,
he didn't make any claims. He didn't make any claims which were unbelievable. You know, he just would say, and when we talk about the 70 hours of footage, he's been using a home video camera for quite a few years and filming these craft going overhead, and they power up, and he gets it on film. He's also filmed unusual visits by military or black ops helicopters, and naturally, as an investigative journalist and director, that intrigued me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it added a dimension to the potential documentary, but nevertheless, even though I had personally seen UFOs elsewhere around the world, I come from New Zealand, and I've seen them down there. I've seen them in Australia. I've seen them here in the States outside of James's place. I didn't tell James anything about that because if you're researching something, you've got to stay objective, and you've got to ask yourself, is this worth pursuing? Is it just someone looking for publicity? Are they on an ego trip? And this is where I'm at this stage in life, because I've seen all of that in the past. Well, James has this attitude. If you want to see them, come here and have a look for yourself. And he doesn't try and convince anybody. And it was the same with us. He took us outside on one of our research trips, and we looked over Mount Adams on a starry night. And we did see numerous satellites going across, and they travel at a very steady pace in different directions, and then we saw something going over, and he said, you know, we'll just ask this one to power up. Well, how do you do that when you're on the ground and they're up there? He said, you do it in consciousness. You just telepathically. And so we're looking at this one, and it did power up.
Well,
no, that was the beginning of convincing me that the guy was genuine. And you want to move on from there, John?
Well, it just it seemed to unfold itself, and I had a lot of skepticism. That's really part of just a part of my makeup, and so I was looking.
And nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with it, but you can use it to your own detriment too. And
that's
I think
true.
Probably in the past I would have perhaps poo-pooed the beautiful work that you do at one point in my life and things like that. I was very closed-minded, and this began to introduce me to very intelligent people that had done their research, of which I had not done, and I found myself having opinions that were very rapidly evaporating. And
wow.
So for that, I had a tremendous personal growth. I'm still involved in that. And I have to give credit to the research in this movie that brought that about, because the more I found out, and the more I found I didn't know, and they're obviously UFOs. I do not know a real definition of a UFO that I would feel comfortable in sharing with the public, but they're certainly not what it is that we all hear that they are, and they do power up. There's obviously an intelligence there, and it's very intriguing. And with Michael, who is extraordinary in his research, and he truly is, it's just confirmed for me that I have an awful lot more to learn, and that's exciting.
And we got some help in our research, too. One night we slept outside at James's place, and we were looking up at the stars, a beautiful night, and I went to sleep about 11, 12 o'clock after it was dark. Above my head, there was this triangle of lights, of stars. Well, I woke up about an hour before daylight, and that triangle of stars was still above my head.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, I have heard of triangular craft. I have heard of motherships. I have heard of these observers sitting up there disguising themselves as stars. And about that time, John stirred, and we saw what looked like a satellite coming across. And I looked at that, and I thought, I'll do what James has suggested. I'll telepathically ask it to power up. Which it did.
Love it.
Well, John's got a beautiful sense of humor. He saw it happen. He said, hey, and he was out of bed in a heartbeat, and he had this little dinky pocket-sized camera, and he pulled it out, and he pointed it up into space. He flashed it, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing powered up again. Well, that knocked our socks off. And John was just, beside himself with, I suppose, laughter and, how would you describe it, John?
Well, I had just absolute wonderment. I couldn't believe it. It was so out of the box for me and out of my reality. So this little camera, it does have a flash on it, but it couldn't take a photograph and it was useless. And that happened three times, and on the third time, I was absolutely speechless, and I just, that made a believer out of me, that one incident right there. There were many others, but that one just said, wow, something's going on here. Yeah.
Well, that's firsthand experience, and it's personal and up close, and it does make an impression on you. You know, even the documentation that James has is incredible. I've never seen anything like it as far as valid, clean, pure documentation. But when you go out to a SETI and you really experience it, it is a reality shift, wouldn't you say?
Yes, Karen, you've said it all right there, and that's what I would recommend all of your listeners and anyone, it's open to everyone.
Yeah.
Go see it for yourself, and that is truly the difference.
Yeah.
All of the films, all of the literature and so forth is one thing, and that's fine in its own right, but a first-hand experience like you just described is unique, and that is And that is, to me, the beautiful thing about a SETI. It always has been open, and it is open to the public, and he welcomes it. News media, everything. That's unique.
The SETI is the name of James's website. It's ECETI.org. And it's an acronym for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The SETI.
And it's a perfect name.
I think it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful name, and it's different than anything else. You know, most times when you hear about UFOs, there's a lot of content that's about wreckage and, all kinds of, ulterior motives that these beings might have. And while I'm sure there is a portion of entities that are lacking in integrity, I would say that would be the smaller portion from my experience. And when you're present on James's ranch and you see this for yourself, and I had the opportunity while I was up there to get a glimpse of James's face when we had a ship going over, and I actually there was enough light in the night that I could see his face, and I actually watched him connect telepathically. Mm-hmm. He really is very focused, and there's you can actually see him doing something. Not to mention you have the evidence in the sky above you, and I'm talking, when you guys say power up, it is like the whole field lights up, you guys that are listening. It's not a little flicker, is it?
No, it isn't. And the other thing there, Karen, and you've seen it, I didn't know that you've personally been down there, and that's absolutely wonderful because it just gives so much more validity to this conversation that the three of us are sharing. But the orb pictures and the orb photographs that are taken down there are astounding. And he has the infrared camera, which is taken in real time video. And the movement and the groups of people and how the orbs come. And there was a rock group there that came. They was going to do a documentary again on the Gilliland's Ranch, and they were singing, and they had these cameras going, and the orbs would actually turn into like a Torsian field and go up and gather around this group, and absolutely astounding. And there was one There was one little boy there, about 13, and everything had been, there'd been a disclosure, non-disclosure assignment, so no one was supposedly to know who these people were. They'd come from Europe, and it was a big deal. And when the boy got done, he said, "Did you ever think of forming a group or a band?" He says, "You guys are really good." And so they got quite a kick out of that, and that was the evening. And, that's all documented and there. And what I'm really bringing up is the orbs, the young people, and the innocence there really seems to attract the activity.
Yes, it absolutely does. I think we might have a caller on the line. You guys up for a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, hello. Do we have a caller on the line?
Hi.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Lisa, calling from Tucson.
Well, hi, Lisa. You got a question for John or Michael?
Do you all do relationship questions?
Oh, actually, tonight we're not doing readings because we have two guests, and we're talking about contact with ETs and such.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. If you have a question that involves a reading, go ahead and tune in on the 22nd. I'll be doing live reading calls then.
Okay, I'll hang up and listen to your show.
Stay tuned, Lisa. You'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
Bye now. So I have to say that I agree with you. The energy at a SETI is certainly beautiful and certainly open and well worth the trip. And I think the word that would come to me to describe that whole ranch of James and kind of James, too, would be unadorned.
Yeah, that's a very good
unadorned, just totally.
Yep, it is.
And it's
the beauty of it.
By trade, I communicate with other dimensions quite often. I have all my life since I was a little kid. You might say it's part of my job description as a psychic medium. Yet when I was at a SETI and I found myself in that field, in the presence of the very strong energy of advanced beings from off-world locations, I went from giddy, excited, and thrilled to feeling kind of small and really kind of uncertain. And it seemed to me that, of course, my whole reality was shifting, and you would have a reaction to that. But the energy of the ET world can be very, it's not intimidating, but it's just a very strong energy. It's very high energy, loving energy with kindness to it. But it's vast and big. And I wonder, you guys, if that is part of where this fear factor comes from, with the fear of contact, because, you know, we think we're ready for it, and, you know, I work with other dimensions, and I am open and all of that, but nonetheless, I got a little wobbly in the knees, you know?
No, we have another caller.
Let's take the call. And I can talk
to okay, let's take the call.
I could come back to that, but let's take the call.
Okay, all right. Hello, do we have a caller?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, how, I have a couple of questions. I hope that's okay. But if you could repeat the website, please.
ECTI.org.
E-C-T.
E-C-T-I for Ivan.
Yes.
Dot org.
And where
that is James Gilliland's website.
Say again?
John Savage's website is contacthasbegun.com. That's where you can buy the DVD that he produced.
Did you say .com?
Buy Contact Has Begun. That's B-U-Y, contacthasbegun.com.
Okay, great. And the question I have here is that what can you share a little bit about the types of conversations or the actual contact that you or that has been shared with you, you've had with these wonderful beings? I'm just so curious as to what they have said to you or have shared with you. Do they speak in feelings? Is it all intuitive? And it would seem to me that when you are in contact or when you're around them, I mean, I really can identify with what you said before about feeling weak in the knees and I'm not sure I want to go. But on the other hand, these magnificent beings, it would seem to me, would have the power to be able to help us feel totally unafraid and loved. Has that been your experience, or can you share a little bit of contact information or as far as what's actually gone on?
Well, Karen, would you like to address that first?
Well, I'll give you a brief interpretation of my experience, and then I'll let the guys go. I felt, as I said, an incredible level of high intelligence blended with kindness. It's hard to describe. It's vast. It's deep. It's all-encompassing. And at the same time you're feeling that, you're having on some level an awareness of a much bigger picture than what we think about from day to day. And this experience for me was ongoing and continues to evolve in the years since I've been there. So I'm sure that everyone's experience is quite individual, but I think it's good if you know that don't have an expectation, just go with an open mind and stay centered and enjoy it. It's not anything to be feared, but it is awesomely big. How was it for you guys?
Well, for me, I would compare it to like being in a beautiful part of nature, or to being in the wilderness. There's a you start to for myself, you just start to realize that there has to be more, certainly outside of me, but there has to be more of me, or I couldn't even be experiencing this.
Oh,
I think the raging river is an example. I think the ocean, the beaches are an example. I think the weather is an example. And that is the best way that I can describe it. There aren't really words. I mean, you can read it by people that are far more articulate and poetic than I am, but it's not the human, you know, interaction, I have a question, answer type of thing for me at all. It's a personal experience that's very real for me and expanding. That's the best I can say right now.
Very well said. How about you, Michael?
My take on this is that the entities that the documentary is about, the enlightened ancestors, let's call them cousins, brothers, family of humanity. Now, not all of our cousins and brothers are enlightened, but the ones we're referring to certainly are. And I believe they understand our concerns and our fears, but they're far more advanced than we are at present. So the questioner asked, what were the conversations like? I've not personally had a one-to-one meeting with any of these entities, but I've had the experience of seeing their craft and feeling their energy. And it is an energy of love, and that in its purest form can drive a person to their knees.
Yes.
I understand, the way I understand this is that we are in the process of them bringing about disclosure. Down here, so to speak, there are a lot of people saying we need disclosure of UFO activity from our government. Well, in America, if you wait for that and hold your breath, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. In other countries, they're releasing files all over the place about the way they have seen UFOs, chased them, tried to shoot them down. And this is the point that James makes. Humanity, at present, is ruled and governed by warlike humans. And their approach to this phenomena is to kill them, if possible. There's footage in the documentary of UFOs, which James, of UFOs that James has filmed being chased by military craft over Mount Adams. Well, of course, they can, as James says, they can just disappear in a heartbeat because they're interdimensional. But back to the question of contact and conversation, they're attempting to reach us and setting us up for, I'm certain, a future display of their presence. And that's going to be a tremendous event.
Well, you know, Michael, that is a perfect segue. Because I have this question that I really wanted to get to that's an email question. I think you guys will like it. It's like really a straight-up question from a Mr. Raymond D. Bay. He says, from Barbara Marciniak to Druvalo Melchizedek to countless other contactees under the sun, we have heard the UFO story for years. What the hell are they waiting for? The nonsense before was they did not want to alert the government or take on this or that, yet we all read nothing in this book is true, but it is exactly the way things are. Give me a break. I have seen ships in Mexico and other places. If you don't see UFOs, you have to be hiding in a basement, says Raymond. If they have technology that can help us, then they have a universal duty to help. Is it time? And it is time, and I am damn sure ready. So when do we see ships cover the skies? What do you have to say, guys?
I think that fellow is very refreshing, and he has his...
I agree.
I could relate to him in a heartbeat. I think he said it all. What are they waiting for? Maybe they're waiting for some intelligence to reciprocate back from this planet. Is what I'm coming up with, and I include myself in that. I mean, I've been so closed-minded and so opinionated, and it has to be this and it has to be that. But if you haven't seen a UFO, then you probably haven't looked. Honest to goodness, I've finally come to that, and I had spent many, many years. I wasn't born yesterday by any stretch of the imagination, and it wasn't until this interaction with James Gilliland and in working with this that I personally started to look up, and when I did, I saw things I'd never seen before.
And this is the same for me, you know. I had my own background as a skeptic, but at the same time, there was an emptiness in myself which was looking for more answers that I was getting. But to go to Raymond's question and comments, who are we, and this is not to be offensive, it's just to keep it short,
But who are we as a species to say that these entities out there have a duty to come and help us? When you look at us as a species, and we made this point in the documentary, what we have done to this planet in the way of trashing it, what we continue to do in the way of using phosphorus bombs to kill men, women, and children, what we insist on playing a game with, which is the nuclear weapons. And you'll see in the documentary that there were, in fact, UFOs which have appeared over various military installations, probably not just in the United States, and they have literally turned off intercontinental ballistic missiles and their warheads. So they have been here, and they have taken steps to ensure that we do not annihilate ourselves just yet. But we still have our own freedom of choice. And
absolutely.
Our choices so far seem to be to follow the political line, which is to find an adversary, to call them the enemy, so that we can go out and kill them. Well, if you had kids behaving like that, would you really want to get involved in the argument if they never stopped doing that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I hear you.
So,
and, you know, I think there's another point, too. When, you know, he says, so when do we see ships cover the skies? There is an element to that, that there's, I wonder if we're not in a period of sort of preparation for such an event. Because without some type of preparation or expansion or understanding or awakening, it would be, I would think, mass panic if the population in general saw such a thing.
Well, I do think that there are mass sightings. It's also in the documentary in Mexico, and there are mass sightings, and it's being expressed on the internet now, and they're coming from sources that are not, they have nothing to gain. I mean, you're talking about professional people, law enforcement, educators, medical people that have absolutely nothing to gain on expounding on the UFO phenomenon. And so there are mass sightings, and it is documented that is going on, you know, in the world and has been going on in the world, and I believe will continue to go on in the world. So I don't know.
You know, Michael, you had on your Earth Changes newsletter, you posted a video from YouTube. I just remembered this. I can't remember the title of it, but it was by two, I believe, former CIA or government guys that were in undercover operations of some sort. And they spoke about their beliefs about ETs being our family.
That's correct.
And they are, you know,
yes,
their purpose. As they see it, what was the title of that video so that people could check it out?
Thank you for asking that question.
Well, don't you know I would ask you that?
The answer is just not coming to the mind right this second. But yes, indeed.
Well, it might come to me before it's over, and if not, I'll mention it on my next show, because I was very impressed with these two gentlemen who have top secret classifications, and
they had cosmic top secret, probably, and they spent time in the National Security Agency, Department of Defense, those areas which had to do with security. And what they say in that YouTube video is that some of these what we call aliens look so much like us that we would not distinguish them as being non-human. And they are amongst us right now. They're so close to us genetically, which indicates that we, in fact, are genetically, let's say, engineered in these bodies. We have a DNA connection to these advanced civilizations. So what they revealed was that the contact is there. They have been attempting to negotiate and discuss with the powers that be, and that seems to me to be the correct diplomatic path up to a point.
Yeah.
And the point is that outside of the USA, countries such as Britain, France, Brazil,
many places around the world are openly releasing so-called secret documents and information about contacts. Here in America,
this can only be helpful to people becoming aware and understanding.
It should be. It is. And the intention there, I believe, is because there's an awareness that contact will come about. Nevertheless, some people who control things don't want you to know that.
Yes. I think we have another caller on. You guys up for a question?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, caller.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Karen. It's Jim. I'm late tuning in tonight, so I'm not familiar with your topic. But I was just wondering if you could give me a quick update, because I moved out of Florida, like you said, a couple months ago, and you said I'd be surrounded by mountains, and I'm up here in Canada now. I'm just wondering what you see happening for me for the rest of the summer, if you see anything changing or...
UFO.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, our guests tonight are speaking about ETs, UFOs, and the movie Contact Has Begun, which is totally amazing, by the way. I do recommend it. But I want to tell you that you are in the right place, my friend. I'm not going to really take the time to do a reading because we have the guests, but please, I'm happy to hear what you said. Please call me back on June 22nd, and we'll talk about it.
Thanks, Karen. I will. Good night.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Bye.
Truly sounds to me like Jim made a good move. In my I'd take the point of view that there's a lot of esoteric stuff available. There's a lot of prophecy available. There's a lot of Zeta talk and many areas in which people can go to find information. And as a longtime journalist, I prefer, not necessarily prefer, but what I do is I go to the scientific side of things. And we did this in the documentary. And this is where the concept of abrupt climate change came up. We discovered a document that was written for the Department of Defense which said if you ignore the concept of abrupt climate change, you know, it could be fatal for you. Well, then
Absolutely. The
story was hidden. And yet in the newsletter that I write, and this refers to what Jim asked you previously and has moved to Canada, we look at rising sea levels. In the documentary, John's son Chase did a beautiful job of making some animations for us of what rising sea levels could do to the planet, what the stalling of the Atlantic current, which is something that's under scientific study, could do to the climate of Europe. So these are things which I believe people should become aware of. But the mudstream media, as I call them, doesn't tell you that stuff, except briefly.
And the information that comes across on traditional media and traditional news items is, it's what I call chopped up. In other words, you get a little bit here and a little bit there, but you never get the really big picture unless you're fortunate enough to find something like Michael Knight's Earth Changes newsletter, and a few handful, maybe, of other people that are actually offering an avenue of independent information without bias.
Well, James,
it's hard
did
to
this.
Find, but it is findable.
I believe James did this, and it's radical to the average person information, but he is a man who did have a near-death experience. He came back from that with a whole different perspective on life, and with a knowledge that, okay, the body might pass, but we don't. We just reincarnate, and we just keep going around in circles. We do have options beyond that, but the beautiful thing that James was presenting in the documentary is that the contact which he's had, and which we can have if we look for UFOs and power-ups, is really calling us to wake up to our greater potential. You know, I have a very deep personal
spirituality, which I describe very well, by the way.
Of course.
Well, I'm maybe getting off on a track here, so I'm going to just stay quiet for a minute or two and let you guys carry on.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, the experiences of the UFOs, I have to say to the listeners that it's best if you go after such an experience without expectation, and if you don't make reference even unconsciously toward movies you've seen or reality TV shows or Hollywood versions of UFOs or ETs. For example, the first time I saw the ship out at Aseti Ranch at James's Place, I, you know, big-time psychic medium, big woo, I did not realize that the ships come in different types of form. For instance, what we see very often at Aseti is what they call a light ship. It is a light in the sky. It's not necessarily a saucer, though it can be. In other words, having expectations or parameters in the way that you think is almost a way of short-circuiting your experience. It's like, it seems to me, a prerequisite for having these amazing awakening-type experiences that alter your perception of reality and your understanding of what we are made of and who we are and the vastness of the universe. A prerequisite is no expectation and a beautiful openness. This is the most outstanding characteristic that I noticed about James, is that he does not have an ego attachment to all of these things that happen to him. In fact, I love one of his phrases. He's been a guest on my show before, and I love this phrase that he uses. He said, "I don't have time for people that have this attitude of, see me, dig me, I'm so spiritual." You know, he's just a guy that has a message. And, you know, he's living it. So, you know, the documentary, you'll see this when you watch the documentary and you see the film. I've recommended it to so many people, and I have to tell you, I've never had anybody come back to me and say, I didn't enjoy the film, I didn't understand the film was hogwash, I don't get it, blah, blah. Everybody comes away from it thinking and questioning and waking up. And I think a lot of that is due to you guys, your amazing work producing and directing this gorgeous film. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. You should be so proud of it.
Well, I thank you for the compliment, but I think the compliment really goes back to the audience that watches this, and I'm going to include myself in that. I do think that we're waking up, and we wonder when we're going to do this and when we're going to do that, and perhaps it's like you were saying, Karen, if we get rid of these expectations and they're waiting for this, you know, this moment in time that's some fantasy in our mind, and I say fantasy because it's imagined, and if we can just be open, I think contact is happening right now. I mean, I don't think this film would be out if contact wasn't happening. I mean,
oh, absolutely. And the more that I, you know, even in my line of work, I went for a long time of drawing the line about ETs. Until finally I started to open up to it, and I said to one of my clients, you know, that I had an experience, and they said, uh-oh, tall cat's out of the ET closet. Because, you know, I began to gradually open my perception to it, and it is something not to be missed. It's a very exciting possibility. It is happening all over. And there are the sighting is of just seeing something like this and seeing it respond to you is incredible. And it's easy, not hard at all, to make contact while in meditation.
Right. That's absolutely. And there is a stigma with this that has become obvious to me in doing the research and in being in the position that I'm in. Many people will talk to me off of the record. And it's like, say the three of us were at your house, and we might be having a conversation and say certain things, and then you would say, well, would you say that on the air? And then I, for example, might say, oh, dear, I don't want to really do that. So everybody, in their own way, we have a fear factor. It's built in right there on, you know, can we talk about this? Well, young people don't have that fear factor, and as people get a little bit older, they don't have that fear factor.
Yes,
but,
that's true. We get a loosening of all those restrictions.
Yes.
You know, I had an experience that I just put into perspective recently. You know, 30 years ago, I had a series of visions about a world in a very precarious balance. And there was a lot of detail about what was happening on the earth, but the most important part of it was that I saw three beings descend from heaven, and they were arriving for, people had their arms outstretched to them asking for help. And I thought, because at the time I was in traditional religion, that it was angels or something along that line. And I have found since in my studies and my adventures of investigating that many times what we consider to be angelic beings or spiritual beings of one kind or another may actually be ET contact.
Yes, I agree.
It's quite amazing. It was I thought also this thought came to me. I read a book recently by someone that has alien contact. And it was like 2 in the morning, I was reading the book, and she mentioned a dream she had of the world in a precarious position with beings on the earth reaching their arms up to the sky for and beings from other planets descending down to earth. And when I read it, I dropped the book because the thought that came to me was, if I dream the dream and she dreamed the dream, how many other dreamers dream the dream?
Wow.
Contact is happening.
Yes, it is.
Contact is happening. And the dreams that we have are sometimes conditioned by the society in which we live. A couple of points I'd like to make is that having been through the religious phase myself, but with a questioning mind, I have a lot of respect for people who are sincere in their beliefs.
Yes. But
I don't go with this business of expecting to be saved by somebody else for decisions that we make. Now, moving on from there, I believe that people have been conditioned to be afraid of contact. James made this point in the documentary. He said, you know, Hollywood puts out these movies where we think they're going to come here and slice and dice us and eat us up and treat us as fertilizer. And that is the Hollywood approach, you know?
Yes, it is.
Even the latest Hollywood thing that I've watched, the Indiana Jones crystal skull thing, it all ends up with people getting a certain amount of knowledge and information and then being killed off. So it's a double-edged sword. You get this Hollywood entertainment, which is quite brilliant in its own way, but you finish up with the sense that somebody's got to save the world, and it's got to be a human with a gun. Or a big gun.
Yeah, kick ass.
Or an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
We're going to save ourselves by killing everybody.
And but I think that's the big message that people are picking up, that just doesn't work. And as a collective, and we are changing, the world is changing, it has to change, and it's becoming less and less acceptable. It is, and there's a stigma with that. There's a shame, you know, and I don't support this and I don't support that. Well, it's not a matter of I'm not a good citizen, you know, if I don't. It hasn't worked, and it is not working now. And one other thing I want to add, I'm changing the topic just a whisker here. We've been talking about looking up. The other thing is much of this information that is there is many of these intelligence and alien UFO activity is coming from inside the Earth as well. And that also is expressed there at James Gilliland's ranch. I've seen, you know, many lights on the mountains and flying objects go into the mountain. So that's something there that's a mind stretch, and that may even be bigger than, you know, somewhere out there in the galactic world out there, might be easier to accept than coming from inner Earth. I mean, documentation that coming out of the ocean and so forth. So I'm just throwing that out there also. It's a big topic.
It's a big
topic. And
that's a
good point, because we do have preconceived ideas about where they come from, who they are, what they're like, what their motives are, and all of that. It's best to sort of like chuck everything you've learned about it and then just start over like a little kid with a total openness and innocence and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. I'd like to add something to what John just talked about, entities going into and out of inner earth. I worked in Western Australia for several years for a mining company, and I met some guys who worked at what was called the Pine Gap radar station.
Hello, I'm Karen Tallcat Conley, third-generation psychic medium with a full-time practice right here in the White Mountains.
Oh,
I believe spirituality is meant to be surprising, chaotic, joyful, and humorous. My workshops are designed to empower you, uplift you, and put you in the groove. For workshop information or to schedule a personal reading, just log on to Karen Tallcat with a K, Conley.com, because you know you've got the power, baby.
Okay.
Did we run out of time?
Yes, apparently our time is up. We're having a very interesting live radio night. But I wanted to say, guys, thank you so much for joining me. I would love to have you again anytime you're interested.
I appreciate that. Thank you,
Karen. I enjoyed this, and great prosperity on your new move again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
Okay,
you.
Thanks, Michael.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power.
Hello, I'm Karen Tallcat Conley, third-generation psychic medium with a full-time practice right here in the White Mountains. I believe spirituality is meant to be surprising, chaotic, joyful, and humorous. My workshops are designed to empower you, uplift you, and put you in the groove. For workshop information or to schedule a personal reading, just log on to Karen Tallcat with a K, Conley.com, because you know you've got the power, baby.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I've got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I've got the power, you got the power, we got the power.
Someone else is gonna do it all for me.